2 Corinthians chapter 4, we can read again a few verses from verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. It's particularly the words of verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If you had something that you particularly valued, you possess treasure, where would you keep it? You know, children, that treasure is found in treasure chests, isn't it? And a treasure chest is a great, strong box. In your mind, you picture a great wooden chest, but it's a wooden chest which is bound together with iron and held closed with a great lock, so that it is impossible to break into. So the treasure that is inside is kept safe. If you had treasure, perhaps you have something in your home, a piece of jewelry that you particularly value, you keep it hidden. You keep it secure. I have a cousin who has possession of a family heirloom that's been handed down from generation to generation in our family. It goes back to the days of the Jacobites. And my cousin was lamenting to me recently. She was saying, I don't know what to do with it. She said, I can't display it, because if I display it, I fear that it might be noticed, it might be taken. But if I don't display it, all I do is hide it and pass it on to the next generation, and it becomes a liability to them. What to do with it? What does God do with treasure? What does God do with treasure? We're told here that the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that precious treasure is placed in earthen vessels. What's an earthen vessel? It's either a jar or a container, some instrument which is made from clay. Where does God place his treasure? Where does God display this great treasure? In jars of clay. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's been spoken about there? Paul is describing human nature, himself, ourselves, saying we are but earthen vessels, we are jars of clay. He says that we are fragile, not strong and robust, not precious and valuable in and of ourselves. A jar of clay, an earthen vessel, would be an everyday, commonplace, almost disposable thing. Easily broken, ready to decay. And it's a very suitable illustration for human nature, isn't it? Because remember, man was made of the dust of the earth. And when Adam raised himself up in his pride and sinned against God, God said, "From the dust you came, and to the dust you shall return." And that's what we are. Our bodies are formed of the dust. And one day we shall lie in the dust and return to the dust. What he's emphasizing here is there's no personal virtue. There's no personal vigor. Whatever power there may be in the preaching of the gospel, whatever glory there may be in the display of gospel power, in the advance of the gospel, it is not organic. It's not in the person themselves. It's not in you, and it's not in me, and it's not in the apostle. Remember how it's put in the prophecy of Zechariah, where the prophet speaks to Zerubbabel and says, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Why was that spoken? Because there's a tendency, isn't there? And you know it, and I know it, to expect that great works will be done by strength and by might, by power, by wisdom, by careful planning, by excellent execution. If something great is to be done, then someone great needs to do it, and they need to do it well. But the apostle is saying that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This describes physical limitation and weakness, intellectual limitation and weakness, emotional limitation and weakness. In 1 Corinthians, Paul has already said, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God has placed this treasure not in you because you are great. And having placed this treasure within you, it does not make you great. The gospel does not make you invincible. But rather, you are fragile. You are a jar of clay, an earthen vessel, easily broken, ready to be disposed of. That's why the Lord's people tire and hunger. That's why you find yourself weak, easily overwhelmed, without answers, uncertain. Because you are not mighty. You are not powerful. You don't have the strength. And that's emphasized in the troubles which come. Paul says we are troubled on every side. The idea of that troubled means being surrounded, being unable to break out. Everywhere there is difficulty. We are perplexed. That means there's no way, there's no exit. It means there's no resources. We don't have it within ourselves. Persecuted, cast down. In 1 Corinthians 15, the apostle said, I die daily. What does he mean, I die daily? How can somebody say, I die daily, when they're still alive to say it? Well, what he's meaning is, his experience is that it's as though he dies daily as he's confronted with his inability. And he's beaten down, broken down. That's a reality. And it's a reality not only for you, but it's a reality for the apostle. It's a reality for each one of us. In chapter 7, he will go on to say, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Here's a man, and he's not saying we're holding it together. He's not saying we're able to overcome. He's saying we can't hold it together. What he's saying is we are overcome. Because we are fragile. We have no strength in and of ourselves. Now, I'm wanting to emphasize that this evening. Because we have all learned to be ashamed of weakness and to hide our weaknesses. We protect ourselves from the embarrassment of our weaknesses by not doing what will expose our inability, by making excuses for not doing what will reveal our inability. And I'm wanting to emphasize to you the fact of your own personal inability, because God declares it here. Because God knows. And it is foolish to pretend otherwise. We sang in Psalm 103. It says, for he remembers we are dust, for he our frame well knows. He remembers you are dust. He knows what you cannot do. He knows how you're made. And he knows that in an intimate way. As you think of our Saviour, weary and hungry. You think of our Saviour as he groaned with the burdens that were placed upon him, as he saw the demands that were made of him, as he cried, Lord, take this cup from me. He understands your fragility, your littleness, your weakness. You know, one of the greatest tragedies in the church is a self-reliant Christian. One of the greatest tragedies is the person who thinks that they're able to do it themselves. The person who thinks that even though they haven't done it themselves so far, they'll do it themselves next time. The person who has an inflated sense of their own ability and power. Because that person is a liability. It's not only a tragedy, it's a liability. Because it's a disaster waiting to happen. But the apostle reminds us that God has placed this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, children, when you're young, if you can't do it today, maybe you'll be able to do it tomorrow. Because tomorrow you'll be older, but you'll be bigger, you'll be stronger, you'll be faster, you'll be cleverer. Every day brings increase. Every day heightens your potential. But life doesn't have to go on for very long before you realize there is a limit to your strength. There is a limit to your potential. Life doesn't go on for very long before you actually see what little strength you had diminishing even further. So you can't do what once you could. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are fragile. But yet, though you are fragile, you are to be faithful. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This fragility is not a reason for inactivity. This littleness is not a reason for holding back. But rather, you are to press on regardless. You're to press on not being unaware of that reality, but you're to press on being aware of that reality, but therefore with your confidence in God. You see, the person who inflates in their own thinking, their own ability, is a liability because they think they can when they can't, and they're going to do more, they're going to overstretch themselves and they're going to fall. But you, in knowing your fragility, are to press on knowing the greatness and the strength and the power of God. To press on not as those who are able, but to press on as those who are obedient. To press on as those who are confident that God in his mercy has placed such treasure in earthen vessels and will work in and through you to his own glory. Chapter 10, Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not physical strength, it's not emotional, intellectual ability, but rather it is the power of God which is operative in and through weak, frail, fragile, stumbling believers who cry out and seek that God would work in mighty ways. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, who created all things out of nothing, works in and through my nothingness. In such a way that great and glorious works are done. God said to nothing, let there be, and it came into being. And he says to you, get up and work. Get up and serve. Go forth and praise me. And there is power. Not power in you and not power in me. But there is power in the one who speaks, such power that you who are but earthen vessels are enabled by his grace to go forth and do what he requires of you. So Paul is able to say in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So he says in verse 8, we are troubled, we're enclosed, we're surrounded, but we're not distressed, we're not crushed. He says we're perplexed, we're without resources, but we're not in despair. We're not without help. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Why? Because God is with us. Because his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And so in the words of the prophet Micah, we cry out, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." God who calls is God who equips, and God who equips is the God who will sustain. As Paul argues in Romans, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" And so you are fragile, but you are to be faithful. Faithful through the knowledge of God, understanding his greatness. Not simply that intellectual understanding, but that experimental understanding. That understanding which has been experienced, which has been proven, which is worked out in daily life. Knowing that God is good, because God does good to you. Because in your emptiness you depend upon him, and you see his hand and you rejoice in his grace. It's that knowledge of God that demonstrates that God is good, that displays the treasure of God. Imperfect servants of the gloriously perfect God. You're fragile, but you're to be faithful. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Fragile, faithful, and fruitful. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That it may be seen that God is present with his people. That it may be seen that God is able. You see, this treasure that God places within you is displayed in you, through you, by you. When you think of the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ in rising from the dead, how is that displayed in this world? Christ is not to be seen. We're not commanded to go and stand at the edge of the grave and look in an empty cave. But rather, the glory of the resurrection, the power of God, is displayed through his gracious working in and through the lives of you and me, and those who are like you and me. Earthen vessels, jars of clay, fragile but faithful, those who trust in him. You are to be fruitful, displaying the glory of God. You maybe remember the account in Judges chapter 7, when Gideon has raised an army to fight against the Midianites. Remember, the army is too great. God said, "Your army is too big." And so a smaller number eventually is sent to fight against the Midianites. Why was the army too great? Well, the danger was that the army would think that the victory had come through their numbers, through their military might and their power. And so it was reduced to a small number of men. So that when victory came, it would be clear that it was God who'd given victory. And what did Gideon say to his soldiers? He says, "Take an earthen vessel and put a light in that earthen vessel." Why was the light in the earthen vessel? Well, the light was in the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel was to hide the light. But each soldier was to take his torch with the earthen vessel, and they were to surround the camp of the Midianites. And when the sign was given, they were to break that earthen vessel so the light could shine forth. And there in the darkness of the night, the cry went out, and the vessels were broken, and the light shone forth, and their enemies were filled with fear. There was a wonderful triumph. The breaking of the earthen vessels allowed the light to shine forth. And there is in some way an illustration there of what must happen in your life and my life. That the excellence of the power may be seen to be of God. Not an increasing of you, but a diminishing of you. Even a breaking of you. As a minister, I've had the privilege quite a number of times of being with those who are at the end of life. Those who love the Lord, who trust in Him, and who are conscious that all physical strength is going, that life is over, there's no power left. And it can be a tremendous privilege to be with somebody at that point. Oftentimes I'm there because I'm trying to bring comfort, I'm trying to bring some encouragement. I'm trying to remind them of what God has said and what God will do and what lies ahead. But my experience isn't that I go and give, but rather I go and receive, because what I find in that situation is there's been a breaking, as it were, of the jar of clay. There's been a breaking of the earthen vessel. There's no strength left. But what is evident is the light. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The reality of faith and obedience and of love, of grace. I think that's why it says in Psalm 92 and verse 14, in old age when others fade, they fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be fat and full of sap, and they be flourishing. In old age, when others fade because their strength is gone, they fruit still forth shall bring. Because when their strength is gone, there's actually greater fruit to bring forth. Because the light, the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the hope and the joy of the gospel, that confidence, that satisfaction, that delight in the things of God when all the things of life have become dim and are passing. All the clutter of life removed. I was reminded of the words spoken by Alan Cameron, the father of the Covenanter Richard Cameron. And Richard Cameron, as you know, was taken captive and killed. And his hands and his head were severed and taken from the battlefield and placed in a basket, which was cast into the prison cell in Edinburgh where his father, Alan, was. And he was asked if he recognised what was in the basket. He said, "I know them, I know them. They are my sons, my own dear sons. It is the Lord. Good is the will of the Lord, who cannot wrong me or mine, but has made goodness and mercy to follow us all our days." And the utter brokenness of that moment, the devastating brokenness of that moment. What was seen but his confidence in the greatness of God. Not his understanding of the providence. Not in his pleasure in the evil. But his confidence in the greatness of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, it's seen that the power is of God when the vessel is broken. And that's something that we need to remember. Because maybe today you're conscious of your body, your physical strength, your intellectual, your emotional, your every type of strength declining. And that might be hard for you. Friends, God is wise. And God gives strength. And God removes strength. And you're given strength for a day and it's taken from you for another day. But you know his purpose in all of that is good. And therefore, whatever comes to you from the gracious hand of a wise God. There's no promise that what comes to you will be easy. There's no promise that what comes to you will be what you have wanted, that it will bring immediate pleasure. But God has placed his treasure in earthen vessels that it might be displayed. And it will be better displayed as these earthen vessels are pulled back and diminished. And so, as you're made to feel your fragility, and even the pain of that fragility, you are to remain faithful. For it is in being faithful that you are fruitful. You're not to make yourself fruitful. You see, the danger is when we have strength is we will do that and we will achieve this. But you're not to do this, and you're not to do that, but rather you're to be faithful. To rejoice in him, to be obedient to him. And he will bring forth that fruit, which shall abound, and which shall abide forever, and which will be for his glory, and which will bring you joy and delight. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Let's pray.